This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Thank you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome, everyone. We are back at it with Ramadan 360. We're so excited to have you here and back with us. Today is day 25, if you can believe it, right? Day 25, and we are in the home stretch officially. We want to welcome everyone who's been joining us from the beginning. We want to welcome those of you who maybe it's your first or second time. No matter what it is, we are so excited to have you as a part of this beautiful community that is built around the month of Ramadan, but inshallah ta'ala will extend his blessings throughout the remainder of the year. I'm your brother Abdurrahman Justin Wood, coming to you from Columbus, Ohio, and so excited to be with you for one of the last couple of sessions that I'll be hosting, inshallah. But again, very grateful to be with you and to be welcoming very soon our beloved friend and Sheikh Suleiman Hani to discuss disinterest in the dunya, a very important topic, very important topic. So we'd love to welcome everyone, whether you're joining us here in the Zoom. If you're here in the Zoom, go ahead. Let's rename ourselves. Let's see where you're coming from. As always, if you're with us in YouTube, welcome as well. We appreciate you coming in via the social media stream. And we also want to take a moment to recognize and appreciate our wonderful charity partners who have been supporting us. And we've been supporting them back, alhamdulillah, throughout the month of Ramadan. We have, of course, in Canada, we have Islamic Relief. Here in the USA, we have HHRD, and we have Forgotten Women in the UK. We've seen their very emotional and heartfelt pitches, along with the amazing work that they're doing. And we want to continue to support them throughout this blessed month and the remaining and waning days. We also want to be sure that we are supporting the effort that is bringing this service to you, this effort of Ramadan 360 and of Al-Maghrib in general. I do want to take a moment, inshallah, welcome to those of you who are joining us. I do want to take a quick moment to just do a check-in on our campaign. Let's see where we're at right now, and let's take a look at the number. I'm going to share my screen here briefly so we can look at that together, inshallah. So we have right now, this is again at almaghrib.org/donate. So if you join us there, you'll see we raised, alhamdulillah, $197,963. This is my fasting rate, right? $197,963. Alhamdulillah. Our goal is $265,000. And remember, every dollar that we contribute is a dollar that goes towards the amazing experiences that you are all witness to during this month, our classes, to our on-site classes, our virtual classes, our programs, our self-development programs, Murabbi, Tarbiyah, all of those things, all of those life-changing moments that many of us, alhamdulillah, have experienced, whether it be in this month of Ramadan or through other facets with Al-Maghrib. So please continue to support through almaghrib.org/donate, and we'll continue to look at that campaign throughout the course of the day and the remaining days, inshallah ta'ala. With that, my room just got brighter. There's more nur filling out. I'm trying to think, where's it coming from? MashaAllah, right here. There it is. There's the source. Allahu Akbar. My beloved brother, my beloved teacher, Sheikh Suleiman Hani. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you doing?
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sheikh Abdurrahman. It's the lighting, man. These lighting sets these days are so bright, mashallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you for noticing that and accept from you. How are you doing, Sheikh?
Alhamdulillah. Much better that you're here. It's always an honor. It's always a pleasure to be with you, and amazing to be a part of this community. Mashallah, this is what I think your third session with us so far in the month out of, I believe, four. So we've benefited every single time, and we're excited to get started, inshallah.
جزاكم الله خير شيخ بارك الله فيك. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah to our brothers and sisters all around the world. May Allah bless you, especially in these final days and final nights of Ramadan. May Allah accept from you and accept all of your dua and forgive all of your sins and bless you in everything that He's given you and allow us to continuously seek His pleasure. Allahumma ameen. Jazakum Allah khairan to all of you for your remarkable engagement, your work, your donations, your support, your ideas, your questions throughout the month and beyond. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from all of you and all the volunteers and the students and the staff and all of those who are doing good works all around the world. Allahumma ameen. May Allah bring down His swift justice and His mercy and His relief to our brothers and sisters in Gaza, Palestine, Sudan, East Turkestan, and all around the world. Allahumma ameen. I want to begin by giving you an analogy. Some of you have moved sometimes from one country to another, at least once in your life. I want you to think of the analogy of the man who is moving to another country, but he has, during his journey, he has a 2-hour layover in the airport. Now, during this 2-hour layover, do you think his mind and his heart, as he's packing all his bags, as he's getting ready to move to an entirely different country, do you think his mind and his heart are attached to, or even really worried about or thinking about a layover? Like, am I going to enjoy it? How amazing is this layover going to be? What is it going to be like? What kind of food will I have? Or is he thinking really about the long-term destination? He's thinking about where he's moving to. He's thinking about what he needs to pack and what he's leaving behind and what he's selling, what he's sending ahead in the mail. So this life for us is shorter than that 2-hour layover. This life for us is shorter than a 30-minute break that you take between destinations. So I want you to take this analogy and look at what one of the greatest scholars ever said, Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah. He said, work for this life in proportion to how long you're going to spend in it, and work for the afterlife in proportion to how long you're going to spend in it. Is there any way to compare the two? Of course not. But you know you have responsibilities. Sometimes you find people building empires in this world, business empires, supporting others, but all of it is for the akhirah. So yes, they are working hard, but it's not meant for this life. Their hearts are not thinking about this world. Their hearts are thinking about the afterlife. So you take from your life to your death, from your health to your sickness, from your dunya to your akhirah, whatever will benefit you in the most long term. Don't let your heart get attached to that layover. Don't let your heart get attached to the quick break that you take in a rest area as you're moving towards a destination that matters so much to you. Rather, be like the traveler, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaches us. What does this have to do with our topic today? The topic that I have today is the topic of zuhd, the word that is often misunderstood and also applied very differently by different people or different groups or movements throughout history. A detachment from this world. Disinterest in a dunya, renouncing this world. What does that all mean? Let's talk about it first to understand the Quranic language here. The word zuhd is found how many times in the entire Quran? In at least the root form, who can tell us? Very quick guess. How many times is the root of this word found in the entire Quran? We have no trivia prizes today. Your prize is a dua. May Allah accept from all of you. And the answer is one. The answer is one. These are all great guesses, mashallah. You guys just threw them out there, huh? The answer is one. وَكَانُوا فِيهِ مِنَ الزَّاهِدِينَ. The word zuhd in its root is found once in Surah Yusuf about Yusuf alayhi salam. They later sold him for a cheap price, just a few silver coins, only wanting to get rid of him. Now, the meaning of this in tafsir is also they didn't value him much. They barely valued him. It also means they had no interest in him. وَكَانُوا فِيهِ مِنَ الزَّاهِدِينَ. He's not important to them. They got rid of him very fast, very cheap. They don't really care. He's not valuable to them. The word zuhd is used a lot, though, in tazkiyah classes, in tasawwuf, the heart softeners. Some movements have taken the word zuhd and added onto additional concepts. Sometimes you will find disagreements amongst the different movements about what zuhd is. So I'll give you an example with a funny story, because some of these stories are really funny. This young brother, we're sitting around in a halaqa and we're talking about heart softeners. He notices his iman is increasing. So he says, I'm feeling like I don't want anything of this world. I don't want to go to school. I don't want to go to work. I don't want to get a job. I don't want responsibilities. I just want to worship Allah. I don't even want to get married. I don't want to have children. I just want to fast, to read Quran. This is my understanding of like real worship. So what is he talking about? Zuhud, disinterest in a dunya. And of course, is this zuhud correct, what this young man said? Now, mashallah, he's married now, has a job and kids, alhamdulillah. So he'll look back and laugh at this story. But of course, it's not correct. You have a hadith of three, let's call them quote-unquote extremists, but they were taught what is not extreme, what is moderate. These are the three men, long story short, they wanted to renounce this world. Let's abandon a dunya. Our focus is on Allah. So one of them said, you know what? I'm going to pray all night. No break, no sleep for me. One of them said, I will fast every single day. Is there a day you're supposed to break your fast? He's like, I will fast every single day. And the third man said, I will not get married. In other words, we will just worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Zuhd. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard about these three men, brought them back, and actually told them, I pray and I sleep. I fast some days and I don't fast other days, and I do get married. In other words, فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فليس مني. Whoever strays from my teaching, my sunnah, is not following it, is not from my followers. You're not allowed to go to this extreme of saying zuhud means I will not do anything at all except ritual worship. Ritual worship is a part of it. Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah defined zuhud as follows. He said zuhud, this interest in this world, is to have a limited amount of expectations, very few hopes in a dunya. He said it doesn't mean not eating foods or not wearing a cloak or wearing something dirty. Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, he said zuhud is to have too many expectations of this world. And one of the other scholars, he said, zuhud is to free your heart from always wanting more, meaning material things. So here's a beautiful example with a story in a famous hadith that many of you know and you've studied in the 40 hadith of An-Nawi. A man comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and even if you're online around the world, on Zoom, on YouTube, as you hear his name, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace be upon him, he said, Ya Rasulullah, dullani ala amalin idha amiltuhu ahabbani. Tell me about an action, just to break it down. Tell me about an action that if I do it, Allah will love me and the people will love me. Direct me to an action, basically, in which the love for me will increase by Allah and His creation. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Izhad fi dunya yuhibbuk Allah, wazhad fi ma 'inda an-nas yuhibbuk an-nas." He said, "Have zuhud, renounce the world, and Allah will love you, and renounce what people possess, and the people will love you." This hadith has different opinions on its meanings and its authenticity, but a lot of the scholars say this means if you're disconnected, detached from a dunya, it's not in your heart; it's in your hands. And you're not always looking at what other people have. You're not jealous. Oh my God, she has this and he has that. If you're not always just thinking about what people have and you're not interested in it, you're happy with what you have, you'll find that people also are not going to disconnect from you, because people don't like the one who is always jealous and intrusive and trying to figure out what they have. Al-Hasan al-Basir rahimahullah, he said, it is from the weakness of Iman that you feel that what you're holding in your hands is more secure than what Allah has for you. It is from the weakness of Iman for you to think that what you have in your hands is more secure than what Allah has for you. مَا عِنْدَكُمْ يَنْفَدْ وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ بَاخُ. Allah says, what's with you will perish. It's temporary. What Allah has in store for you is eternal. And it's beyond our imagination. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep our eyes on the prize, very focused on the goal of why we're here. So when you think about this reality, zuhud really is about a few traits that will completely transform someone's life. It includes contentment. It includes humility. It includes self-discipline. And with that, the fourth one, the ability to abandon the frivolous things of this world, the things that a lot of people are entertained and distracted by. And so here's an example. Imam Ahmad rahimullah, a lot of people love studying what he said about zuhud, and there's an entire book of zuhud. He says it's three parts, it's three types. The first is to avoid the prohibitions, avoid the things that are prohibited. This is the zuhud of the commoners amongst the ummah, meaning this is the type that is an obligation. This is the type that is an obligation. Number two, he says, is to abandon what is not a necessity amongst the halal things. So this is the type of zuhud of the distinguished people. So there are things that are halal and they are not required, they're not necessary. He's saying the second level is to abandon these things out of love for Allah, devotion to Allah. And the third, he says, is to abandon anything that will distract you from the remembrance of Allah. And he says this is the zuhud of those who have the real understanding of the religion, the real understanding of the religion. So again, the common type is what? You abandon the haram. The second type is you abandon some things that are not necessary amongst the halal, the mubah things. You abandon some of them and you put a barrier between you and the makruh, you and the haram. And the third is to abandon anything that will distract you from the remembrance of Allah. So if you have social media apps, if there's entertainment, video games, if there's something that for you, it's excessive, you have to rein yourself back in and ask, how can I get to this third category of being amongst those who abandon any distractions that stop me from getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what are some principles I will share today, inshallah, will help me and help you, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, to really benefit in our lives and transform our lives through this topic of zuhud. Some of these are stories with principles. Number one, ask yourself frequently the question. What's the question? What do you really want? What do you truly want long term? What does your heart desire? Do you want to just chill forever? Do you want to work hard? What is it that you want? What's your concern? What's your passion? And the Prophet ﷺ talks to us about concerns. And he says, من كانت الآخرة همه جعل الله غناه في قلبه وجمع له شمله واتته الدنيا وهي راغمة. Look at this. Whoever is concerned about the Akhirah, may Allah make us amongst them, Allah will place richness in his or her heart. So Allah will put richness in this person's heart and bring his affairs together so things will work out and the world will inevitably come to this person. But then there's a warning. وَمَنْ كَانَتِ الدُّنْيَا هَمَّهُ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ فَقْرَهُ بَيْنَ عَيْنَيْهِ Whoever is overly concerned instead about this life, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will place poverty between his eyes. وَفَرَّقَ عَلَيْهِ شَمْلَهُ وَلَمْ يَأْتِهِ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَا قُدِّرَ لَهُ And there will be disorder in his affairs. He will always feel that things are never working out. Things are always needing to be done. And he will get nothing of this world. But what was decreed for him, in other words, he will never feel satisfied. That's what it means. He will never feel tranquil, peaceful, happy, reassured, whatever the material situation is. You know, recently there was a brother who told me he lost dozens of relatives in Gaza. So many relatives in Gaza, he's like almost every other day or every week. Now it's been 5 months. Just like updates, where's the family? A few days, they don't hear from them. So-and-so passed away. Inna lillahi wa inna raji'un. Istushhid. So-and-so, they've died. May Allah accept them as shuhada. So just constantly hearing about death and death and death and death. He said it was such a powerful awakening because in his life, he felt like his heart was dead until this moment. He felt like he was just chasing after more and more and more. He used to just want a basic job and to be married. And then he got a job. And now he wanted a bigger house. He got a bigger house. And now he's making more money and he wants an even fancier house, a richer neighborhood, a more prestigious car, more prestigious clothes and brand names. He said, I felt like my heart was really dead spiritually, but now it's alive. He said, I find no sweetness in a dunya. I don't really care anymore about these things. He's like, this has awakened me in so many ways as Gaza has awakened the hearts of millions around the world. Brothers and sisters, let the spiritual awakenings you experience be awakenings after which your heart never sleeps. Let the spiritual awakenings that you experience be awakenings after which your heart never sleeps. Imagine dying abruptly any day now, leaving this world, and you look back and say, why was I so attached to the temporary thing, to the deceptive life? Why was I so concerned about dunya? I abandoned the akhirah. Why did I neglect the thing that I knew was coming? No matter what your religion, background, age, gender, you are going to leave this world. Why was I so distracted? And Allah gives us warnings and good news so that you have foresight. You know what foresight is? Foresight is when you have information, data that you're using to look at patterns and a track record so you can decide on what's best and avoid some harm. In Islam, we don't just have foresight. We have actual, genuine information of what is certain. Certain in the grave and on the day of judgment. So you look at that information, you say, I want to have foresight. So I want to do what's right today. So the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us these reminders. And he tells us, مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا وَزِينَتَهَا نُوَفِّ إِلَيْهِمْ أَعْمَالَهُمْ فِيهَا وَهُمْ فِيهَا لَا يُبْخَسُونَ Whoever desires only this worldly life and its luxuries, we will pay them in full for their deeds in this life, and nothing will be left out. But what happens in the next life? أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ لَيْسَ لَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ إِلَّا النَّارِ وَحَبِطَ مَا صَنَعُوا فِيهَا وَبَاطِلٌ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ These individuals, if all they want is this life, they will have it. But they will have nothing in the hereafter except punishment. Their efforts in this life will be fruitless and their deeds will be useless. As Allah tells us in Surah Hud, verses 15 and 16. Principle number one, ask yourself the question frequently, what do you really want? Principle number two, do not become preoccupied with endless wealth, endless material pursuits. You know what the Prophet warned us about? One of the most powerful short warnings many people don't know about. He said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, لَا تَتَّخِذُوا ضَيْعَةَ فَتَرْغَبُوا فِي الدُّنْيَا Do not become preoccupied with accumulating so much that you place your hopes in this world. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, richness does not mean a great amount of materialism, material wealth. Richness, real wealth, is self-contentment. It is in the heart. Whoever has this level of zuhud will never look for haram as their avenue of wealth. They will never look for something prohibited to make their money through it. They will never look to cheat to get ahead because they know that's not going to lead to better results or rizq. Materialism, what is it? It's so dangerous. And you all know about it. Every single one of us is aware of the temptation and the test of materialism in the world. It's when people fall into this dangerous lifestyle that it causes them to forget why they exist, what your purpose is. People become obsessed with gaining so much more and more and more of material things, and they stop caring about Allah and the afterlife until something wakes them up. And I can ask you a question. I'd love to see your answers in the chat. But when you think of materialism, in one way, it is the opposite of zuhd. Zuhd is not to be attached to this world in your heart, not to really care for it. Materialism is a type of obsession with gaining more material things, gaining more of this world, schools and universities, culture, family, sometimes television, advertisements. They're pushing this agenda of materialism, hyper-consumerism, but it's not a happy road to follow. It's not the happy path of life, as countless psychological studies have found. It leads to behavioral issues. It leads to different types of anxieties. Now, I will ask you a question, and there are so many responses. Let's see some of them here, and I'll share with you some, inshallah. What are some of the dangerous side effects of a material obsession, a type of materialism where you're attached to this world? What are some dangerous results, side effects? I'll give you a few, inshallah. Yes, excellent. Stress and shirk and greed, TV, OCD, depression, forgetting the hereafter. Lack of contentment. You're never satisfied. You're never satisfied. Jealousy. Some people are never happy. Some people will start to become hateful towards others because they have more than them. They will become paralyzed spiritually. Short-term happiness, a type of addiction, a type of depression. Ungrateful to Allah, attached to this world. Greed. These are all excellent responses. Low self-esteem, always wanting more, sometimes even narcissism. Yes, all of these are great responses. Forgetting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, forgetting why they exist. Some people have a fear of poverty, so they don't even want to have children, even though they have great jobs and wealth. Some people are corrupt in their intentions because they're always thinking of material things and not the goal of what it is they're trying to do. Some people are distracted from the afterlife, distracted from Allah, hateful towards other people. So these are all dangerous realities of obsession with materialism. May Allah protect us. May Allah protect us. May Allah protect us. So Allah, forgive us if we've ever been attached to any material things, and protect us and allow us, ya Allah, not to be attached to this world. Allahumma la taj'alid dunya akbara hammina. Oh Allah, do not make this world our greater concern. Rather, make the afterlife and Jannah our greater concern and our goal and everything that we're working towards. The test of materialism for some people, the test of materialism when they're given wealth is greater than the test of poverty. And every person has a different type of test based on their circumstances. Everyone has a unique test and a reward based on their circumstances and their efforts. So what is the test? The test is to turn to Allah in all situations. If you have been blessed with rizq, then connect everything you have of this world to Allah. Use your rizq for gratitude, not for extravagance, not for desires. May Allah protect us all. Allahumma ameen. The third principle here, the third advice, remember that the state of the ummah is tied to the level of zuhd. So when you started this session today and you saw the title, disinterest in ad-dunya, some people are like, what does that even mean? Like, what is this concept? And sometimes we don't make the connection between this topic and the state of the ummah today. What happens to the ummah if at large a significant percentage of the ummah is overly attached to this world and they hate to detach from materialism or ad-dunya? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gave the Sahaba some very heavy news. He said, soon, one day, meaning the nations of the world will be summoned to you just like someone is invited to a feast. And so it was said, ya Rasulullah, will we be small in number on that day? He said, no, you will be large in number, but you will be like the basically what's called the scum of the torrent, the rain, the water. Walakinnakum ghuthaun kaghuthais. So you're going to be so many. But he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove your status, your esteem, your dignity from the chests, from the hearts of your enemies, and Allah will insert feebleness into your own hearts. So the Sahaba said, ya Rasulullah, what is this feebleness? Wama al-wahan? What is this feebleness? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, hubbu dunya wa karahiyatul maut. It is the love of this worldly life and the hatred towards death. The love of this worldly life and hating death is one of many reasons the ummah could struggle today or in the future. And it doesn't mean the one who is struggling with injustice is the one who is mentioned in this hadith. Rather, it means as a whole, as an ummah at large, being attached to this world and loving it and chasing it and forgetting our priorities, forgetting unity, forgetting the goals that we should have. This is the reality of this world. We have to be very frank about, may Allah protect us and our brothers and sisters in every land and place, and detach our hearts so that we can be attached to greater priorities. Allahumma ameen. The fourth advice and principle here is remember how Prophet Muhammad lived, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know how sometimes people are like, let's look at the role model. The role model, the ultimate role model, is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, one time he was sleeping on a mat, and he stood up, and on the side of his arm, you know how sometimes certain types of material, if you sleep on it for too long or you sit on it, it leaves like these really severe, severe marks. It left these marks on the left side of his body. And so some of the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, if only we could get a bed for you. Like, let us buy you a proper bed. He said, Ma li wa ma li dunya. Ma ana fi dunya illa karakibin. Istadalla tahta shajaratin thumma raha wa tarakaha. This worldly life is not for me. The worldly comforts, I don't care about. I am like a traveler taking rest under a tree in that shade, and then I continue on my way. The Prophet ﷺ is not attached to the materialism of this world. He's practicing the highest standard of what we're looking at and what the Sahaba learned in terms of how do you live your life. He is the ultimate role model. So study his seerah and ask yourself, if you live there, would you start to cry if you see how the Prophet lived ﷺ with very little food, with the simplest clothes, with the simplest bed? Would you cry? Would you be attached to this world? How would you feel? So one time, Umar radiallahu anhu, he said, I entered the room of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was lying down on his side over a mat. I sat down as he covered his lower garment, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he got up, there was a mark on his left side. Another example of the bed, how simple it was. It wasn't comfy. He said, I looked at the Prophet's cupboard, and I saw a handful, barely, of what? Of barley in a very small amount. Barely anything was there. I said barely and threw some people off. Barely any barley, okay? And he said, I saw a few leaves of a mimosa in the corner and a small leather bag hanging to the side. There's nothing in the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, my eyes started to tear up. Umar is getting really emotional and sad. The Prophet said, what makes you, weep, O son of Al-Khattab? He said, O Prophet of Allah, why should I not cry? Why should I not cry when this mat has left marks on your side? And I see very little in your cabinet here. And Caesar and Kisra, the rulers of the Romans and the Byzantine, he said, these rulers, they live with all these fruits and these springs, meaning they live in a life of wealth. And you are the messenger of Allah and his chosen one. And yet this is your home. This is your living experience. This is your comfort. فَقَالَ يَبْنَ الْخَطَّابِ. He said, O son of Al-Khattab, look, Umar is crying. He sees the Prophet living this simple life. How would you feel if you walked into the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and you saw that? Would you feel like you wanted more of a dunya if you saw him sleeping on a bed that made him uncomfortable? Would you really feel like you're attached to anything of this world? يَبْنَ الْخَطَّابِ أَلَا تَرْضَى أَن تَكُونَ لَنَا الْآخِرَةَ وَلَهُمُ الدُّنْيَا قُلْتُ بَلَى. He said, O son of Al-Khattab, are you not pleased that this is for them in this world, but for us is the hereafter? That for us is the hereafter? For us is the hereafter? And the reality is what? The reality is sometimes when we talk about what is a type of balance or moderation, we go to extremes. And these extremes could be dangerous. Because yes, when the Prophet ﷺ left this world, he had nothing. He gave away his wealth, small piece of land that was given to charity. And when you think about that attachment, it brings us to point number five. Zuhud is not about having nothing. Zuhud is not about having nothing. And this is why I mentioned in the very beginning, contentment. I didn't say having nothing, right? Zuhud is not to be disconnected from all worldly things. Rather, it's that it doesn't affect you spiritually. It doesn't, hurt you spiritually. It doesn't affect your akhirah by taking away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so an example of this, a story, they go to Imam Ahmad and they said, so-and-so has 1,000 dirhams. 1,000 dirhams. Is he considered a zahid? So this principle I'm about to give you, point number five, by the way, is what? Zuhud is tied to your expectations of this world. Zuhud is tied to your expectations of this world. Can someone who has 1,000 dirhams be considered a zahid? That's like saying, can a millionaire be considered a zahid, that he's not interested in dunya? Do you know what he said? Some people might think no. He said yes, but with one condition. If his wealth increases, he does not become too elated, too joyful. And if it decreases, not does not become too distressed. Meaning his spiritual and emotional state is not because of his wealth. Material things are not in his heart, they are in his hands. How do we know this? Through a story of a prophet. Ayyub alayhi salam was given everything of this world, a family, so many children, and wealth, and good health, and a wife. And Allah tested him with all of these things. When you lose these worldly things, do you lose yourself spiritually and emotionally? What did he do? He turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anni massani ad-durru wa anta arhamur rahimin. I have been afflicted with hardship and you are the most merciful. Do you know what that means? That when you go through a material change in life that you don't like, that you recognize Allah's mercy is still present. Allah's mercy is still present. Sometimes people think this means don't have any food and drink. No. No, no. Kulu washrabu wa tasaddaqu walbasu. The Prophet ﷺ said, eat and drink and give in charity. You can wear nice clothing without pride and extravagance. Allah loves for His blessings to be seen upon His servants. But there's a difference between having wealth and living a life of luxury and distraction. Having wealth and living with the pursuit of endless wealth. These are very different. So a lot of Muslims say, I want to be rich like Abdurrahman bin Auf and Uthman bin Affan. But these are Sahaba who did not live fancy lives. They had that wealth. They gave in so much charity. They memorized the Quran. Uthman was a Khalifa and Abdurrahman was nominated to be a Khalifa. So these are people who were righteous, memorized the Quran, recited, prayed Qiyam, dressed like their own quote-unquote employees. Abdurrahman Auf dressed like his people. So wealth, you have to reframe what wealth is. Your expectation of a dunya has to be reframed. Wealth is a tool. Wealth is a vehicle. And some Muslims today, mashallah, are using their wealth not because of their own desires. They're using their wealth to drive goodness in the world, supporting countless causes and institutions and fighting the forces of evil in the world. And people of evil are using their wealth to try to extinguish the light of Islam, the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you have a job promotion, if your wealth increases, don't say, no, no, I'm a zahid, I'm not allowed to have it. Wealth is a tool. Don't let your heart be affected. Don't let your desires be affected, but rather ask yourself, how can I be more grateful to Allah through this materialism, through this wealth? For some people, the test of wealth will bring them closer to the highest ranks. And for some people, the test of wealth, they'll become distracted. And this is the reality of this world. We are all different and we have to fight the temptations and inclinations and ask, why do I want any materialism? What is it for? When you make dua in these remaining nights for yourself and your family, your loved ones, your brothers and your sisters, if you make dua for anything worldly, make sure you are not asking for the sake of just fulfilling desires. You're asking to get closer to Allah. These are vehicles of change and vehicles of goodness, vehicles of investing in the akhirah, vehicles of investing in the ummah, vehicles when you talk about your studies, your education. Please do not tell your children, this is how you'll get a good job, just so you'll make good money and live in a nice neighborhood. No, this is how you'll get a good job so you can support the ummah. This is how you'll get a good job so you can get to Al-Firdaus Al-A'la. This is how you get a good job so you can be more grateful to Allah. It's not about your desires or the fanciness of this life. Sometimes, and this is my last point, number six. I will finish in 3 minutes, inshallah. Sometimes, some people will go through hardship because Allah is protecting them from being too attached to this world. Sometimes we become too attached and we refuse all the signs, the reminders to detach. So what happens? Sometimes there's something a little more severe. May Allah protect us all. May Allah protect us all. إِذَا أَحَبَّ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا حَمَاهُ الدُّنْيَا. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, when Allah loves a servant, He protects that servant from الدُّنْيَا كَمَا يَضَلُّ أَحَدُكُمْ يَحْمِي سَقِيمَهُ الْمَاءِ. As one of you might protect the sick person, their friend, their family, from drinking too much water, because with some illnesses, you have to be cautious. So what does this mean? Fulfill your responsibilities, your job, your school, your work, the house that you have. Take care of these things. Do not let your heart be attached to these things. They are all temporary and they will all perish. What Allah has with Him is eternal. Let these temporary structures be the reason that you have an eternal structure. Let the temporary wealth you have be a reason you have eternal bliss. Let the temporary pleasure of sacrifice and worshiping Allah be the reason that you are enjoying Jannah forever with no end. Bliss upon bliss upon bliss. Do not detach yourself so much from this world that you're actually abandoning acts of worship and you're abandoning responsibilities. No, look at the balance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and take the time to do what you need to do. What can you practically do with this topic? There are many, many different things. Number one, look at those who have less than you. not those who have more than you. Look at those who have less than you of this world. That's the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So you think of what your brothers and your sisters in Gaza. And of course, this means do not show off what you have of the dunya. Do not use social media to show off worldly things. May Allah protect you all. The second, avoid the sources and causes of materialism. These are tips for maintaining zuhd. What does that mean? Advertisements. Social media, don't be so attached to it that you're just constantly bombarded with things that are made to control how you feel. The best of advertisers are those who will talk to you in terms of your pain points. They will know what it is that you might desire, what most people are worried about, what most people want. And they'll make you feel like if you don't buy this thing, you're missing something in your life. Or if you do buy this thing, you'll feel a little happier in your life. You'll get it, dopamine release, and then it's over. And the next thing, and the next thing. May Allah protect us all. Number three, make sure in terms of zuhud, that you sometimes force yourself to take the simpler route. You know how you could have, let's say I'm wearing this sweater. Let's say I had like a really fancy shirt, like really nice, really fancy. Sometimes you have to intentionally force yourself to utilize and take advantage of and wear the simpler things. Notice in Islam, the chapter, the many chapters in hadith on food and clothing, you'll notice what? Prohibition on a lot of different worldly things. You're not allowed to have gold and silver plates. You're not allowed to, for men, wear gold. You're not allowed to wear silk. You'll notice there's a disconnect. You know the issue of isbal, not letting your for the men, your clothes, your pants go below the ankle, according to one opinion. Again, for whom? The one who is arrogant, because at that time, the arrogant people had more clothes and longer clothes. So this is obviously a fiqh issue. But the point is, sometimes you have to force yourself to be more minimal, to be simpler. So the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they spoke to him, and he said one time when they asked him about this concept, he said, "Ala tasma'un, ala tasma'un." Listen, listen. He said, "Inna al-badhadata min al-iman, inna al-badhadata min al-iman." What does that mean? He says, "Al-badhada is a part of faith. Al-badhada is a branch of iman, a word that many people have never heard before." What does that mean? Al-badhada means the simpler clothes is a part of iman, that you choose sometimes to have tawadu and not to be extravagant is one of the greatest acts of worship. And you know when you can do this? When other people are suffering around you. That you are more, that you're not tone deaf, that you're more mindful. You know when you can do this? When people are starving to death in Gaza and you're not showing off food online. That when it's the day of Eid, in just a few days, and our brothers and sisters are being killed and genocide is still happening, that we are very cautious with the concept of festivities and concept of celebrations. The Prophet ﷺ said, "He who wears the clothes to show off in this world will be made by Allah to wear the clothes of humility on the day of judgment." So be very simple. Sometimes sleep on the floor. Sometimes wear the simpler clothes. Sometimes think about why you're wearing what you're wearing. That watch, the accessories, whatever it is. Make sure your intention is sincere. May Allah protect us from ever showing off. May Allah grant us humility. These are some tips to keep zuhd. Surround yourself with good company, not the types of friends who make you feel like you have to buy all these brand names, but rather the friends that remind you, the friends that sometimes will be simple as well. Their focus is not superficial. Remember to keep the akhirah in front of you and not behind you. The afterlife is in front of you, and it's as close to you as the next breath and the next beating of your heart. You know, a lot of people in Ramadan enjoyed Ramadan 360. They enjoy these programs. They enjoy the Al-Maghrib classes throughout the years. And they enjoy the Blessed Voyage trips that we take. We have the students in the Tarbiyah program. We have the children in Ilm Spring, Alhamdulillah. We have students on demand doing their own, kind of their own thing through Faith Essentials. SubhanAllah, with all these different journeys, we're hearing the same thing from so many students, so many of you around the world. The connection to Ilm and Quran and a community online or offline throughout the year has been one of the reasons that our consistency is preserved the entire year, that our zuhud is consistent the entire year, that we are not attached to this world. The Prophet ﷺ left this world and he didn't satisfy his hunger. He was hungry in the last few weeks of his life, meaning he left this world and he barely had anything. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He's not attached to this life because he's seen the reality. And for us, we want to look at that reality and say, "Oh Allah, grant us the strength to live within our means and to only purchase the things that we are actually going to use. Protect us, Ya Allah, from ever throwing away a morsel of food when people are starving around the world. Protect us, Ya Allah, from being wasteful and being attached, and spend your time and your wealth for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah protect us and forgive us and our brothers and sisters. Make dua for your brothers and sisters in every land and every place. And of course, jazakumullah khairan to all of you. Alhamdulillah for the amazing sadaqah jari, the continuous charities and the many projects and classes that have benefited millions of people around the world through Al-Maghrib Institute. Your support of Al-Maghrib is a small share, inshallah ta'ala, that is amplified with hundreds or thousands of different types of impacts in the world while you're alive and long after you leave this world. We're almost actually at our goal for Ramadan. Alhamdulillah, there have been so many amazing different stories and progress that have been made. So take advantage, inshallah ta'ala, by supporting this cause and investing in your akhirah as well. And keep your brothers and your sisters in your dua. Make dua as well for our Ustada Taymiyyah. Her uncle passed away. May Allah have mercy on him in Memphis, and her uncle passed away in Pakistan as well. May Allah have mercy on him, elevate their ranks, forgive their sins, and gather them the highest positions in paradise. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us all to be in gatherings of khayr in this world and to be with our loved ones in the highest ranks with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Jazakumullah khayran to all of you for your amazing engagement and your comments and your insights. Wa salli lahum ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Where's Sheikh Abdul Rahman? Bismillah.
Jazakumullah khairan, Shaykhana. Thank you so much for that amazing reminder regarding Zuhud. And I have to make a note, because when you said the clothes, I felt like it was almost a shot fired in me. I was like, man, I got my fancy shirt on today. I need to go put my clothes of Zuhud as well, right? But Sheikh Waleed today put an email out. Some of you may have received it, about the last 10 days of Ramadan and how many of the scholars of the past and the companions even would wear nicer clothes during the last 10 nights to honor the coming of Laylatul Qadr. Anas ibn Malik, he would wear special clothes that he only reserved for those last 10 nights. So I try to keep my old Eid outfits and I recycle them for these last 10 days and wear them now. So if you're wondering, that's the reason, inshallah ta'ala. I do want, Shaykhuna, I would love you to, before, there's a couple questions, but if you could tell us, I know we had a dua night this morning, right? At 3 o'clock in the morning, Eastern time. We have a couple other ones coming up on Saturday and on Monday. So we have, inshallah ta'ala, we're going to have dua with Sheikh Khulam and Hani. It's going to be streamed through our Instagram at Al Maghrib World on Instagram. So April 4th was today. We have April 6th and April 8th. We're going to be covering specific dua of the prophets, a specific dua from the sunnah, and live dua in Arabic and English that'll be broadcast globally. Sheikhuna, would you give us a word just about what that experience is like for those of us who haven't had the opportunity to go through it with you?
Jazakumullah khairan. So alhamdulillah, when COVID happened in 2020, Sheikh Majid reached out to me. May Allah reward him. He said, there are a lot of community members who don't even know how to make dua, and people are asking, what should we do? What if we did something hick, like on the spot, randomly said, okay, let's do it. Did it on Instagram. Terrible lighting, terrible, no camera, no setup, none of that stuff. People figured out later on, mashallah. The year after, we did it professionally, alhamdulillah. I did it with the Yaqeen Institute. And then decided to keep it consistent for some of the nights in Ramadan, just so those who don't know how to make dua are making dua together. But the objective is not the congregational, is the educational. It's to connect, inshallah ta'ala, around the world. It doesn't have to be nighttime for you. Just a moment to make dua in English and Arabic and to study one new dua. So we had one last night. We have one on Saturday, 3 a.m. It's all on Al Maghrib's Instagram page, inshallah ta'ala, and on Monday at 3 a.m. I just want to clarify one thing though, Sheikh. You mentioned something about your shirt. Your shirt is beautiful, mashallah. May Allah bless you and everyone here and all of our brothers and sisters. There is a difference between wearing something nice, and it's very subjective, what's considered nice and what's considered fancy, right? So I see what you're wearing is very nice, mashallah. But extravagant is like over the top. And sometimes you notice people going over the top on the day of Eid, like way too extravagant. And it's partially because of the culture that we are in some countries or social media. So no, your clothes are perfectly fine, mashallah. May Allah bless you. Yes, keep somebody said, keep your Rolexes at home, mashallah. Sell your Rolexes, donate it in charity, inshallah. Donate to Al-Maghrib and the Gaza Relief Projects, inshallah ta'ala. Jazakum khair. I just had to clarify that, Sheikh. Barakallahu feek.
Jazakum khair, Sheikhuna. So a couple of questions, if we can try to address those. One question that came up in the Zoom chat, the question was that they understood Zuhud in regarding to material things. Is there a concept about Zuhud regarding people, certain people that we should have Zuhud in regards to? And they mentioned particularly people who maybe from their past, childhood friends, things of that nature. Could you speak to us about how the concept of Zuhud applies to individuals?
That is a great question, mashallah. May Allah bless you. Generally speaking, zuhud is disinterest in a dunya. So your heart is attached to Allah in the afterlife. Now, how this applies to people will be a little different. Why? Because with people, the sadness sometimes is about the separation. Right, that's what the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said when he buried his own children. It's about the separation. It's not about it's not like you're not content with the decree of Allah or anything like that. No, it's rather the separation, but you know that there will be a reunion place. Now, I will say this though, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was given advice from Jibreel Alayhi Salam. He said, "Ahbib man shi't, fa innaka mufariqu." Love whomever you will, but you will part from them. Love whomever you will, but remember, you will part from them, and that's one of the most difficult things for people to hear. About their own children or their own parents or their own spouse, that you will part from them, but it's not the ending. That's not the finale. You will part from them temporarily and then you will reunite, inshallah ta'ala, in the best of homes. And not for a limited time where you're like, I can barely catch up and respond to your messages. You will reunite in the best of homes forever. And that's the kind of place where nobody can say, I'm so sorry, I missed your message. I've been so busy. Bro, you're in Jannah. You have nothing to be busy with. What are you talking about? And of course, people will be busy, inshallah ta'ala, meeting the prophets and the messengers and the righteous. But that's the kind of place, inshallah ta'ala, that you look forward to meeting your family. That's a place of blissfulness. So be cautious not to let your attachments to people affect your akhirah or your attachment to Allah. An example of this is Ibrahim alayhi salam. He was, after all his sacrifices, was told, as you all know, to sacrifice his own son. Can you, for those who are parents here, can you imagine, like, you have to literally physically sacrifice your son or your daughter? Like, most people are like, I can't pass this test. I would not be able to do that. And obviously, this is a prophet, and Ismail alayhi also said, Satajidu inshallah min as-sabirin. He also was obedient to Allah. And you don't know where this test is going, but you follow through. It's the command of Allah. Now, of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spared his son and gave him the animal to sacrifice. And gave us something to commemorate every year with. When we talk about this, we talk about the Prophet of Sacrifice, alayhi salam. His heart was filled, his priority was filled with love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that even people, his own children, your own family, does not get in the way. Another example is when it was time for salah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even though he was happily with his family and enjoying time with the family, when it was time for salah, the adhan went off, he was serious. It's as though he didn't know them. He would go to the masjid. In other words, let your family know and build this in you, develop this trait in your children as well, that to have worldly things is to cherish them while they're here for the sake of Allah. But they shouldn't stop you from loving Allah. They shouldn't stop you from worshiping Allah in the best manner possible. So as we develop these traits in our children, we have to practice that as well. It's time for salah, it's time for salah. And they start to see salah as a priority, meaning Allah is a priority. The afterlife is the priority. We're not meant to stay here. Allah Ta'ala.
JazakAllahu khairan, and thank you so much. Another question that came through, they said, I'm having a wonderful Ramadan, alhamdulillah, thanks to Al-Maghrib, they mentioned, may Allah bless you. They said that to the point that I'm feeling detached from my corporate job, what should I do? So we could read into that question a couple of different ways, but I know I've had that feeling where you don't feel like doing the obligations, responsibilities because of that spiritual high. I know you touched on it at the beginning of your talk, but if you could maybe clarify that point a bit.
You know, that's awesome, mashallah. The sister or the brother who said that's awesome, mashallah. If you're not attached spiritually to your job, that's great because in a moment's notice, it could be changed into something else, something better, inshallah ta'ala. It's just you don't want to be attached to it from one angle. But from another angle, it's not an attachment, but the objective, inshallah ta'ala, is utilitarian, that your job is for some kind of benefit. It could be for the source of income so you can sustain yourself, your family. It could be to benefit the ummah through charity and invest in your afterlife so that you are the giving hand, inshallah ta'ala. It could be so that you are learning a new skill set. It could be for the sake of da'wah. If your job itself is something you enjoy, obviously, many people will say, I'm passionate about what I do. Many teachers, they, especially in the United States, they barely get paid, but they love teaching children. And so they find the passion in the work, even though they're sacrificing something greater. May Allah reward all of our teachers. Allahumma ameen. And a lot of people who work in service industries, they don't like dealing with annoying people, but they do it because of some benefit, something that will help people. So think about the utilitarian benefit of it, inshallah ta'ala, and intend it as an act of worship. But you know what? If you're not attached to your work because of the spiritual high, that's actually, alhamdulillah, a good sign. And that's how the Sahaba felt when they were around the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They said, it's as though we see paradise and hellfire. But then we go back to our families and the iman dips, it drops. That's a normal experience for the believer. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to continue benefiting from the opportunities that we have. Allahumma ameen.
I mean, JazakAllah khairan, Shaykhana. Thank you so much. And there was one final question. I know we're a little bit short on time, but if we could briefly touch on it, this one came in through YouTube. They mentioned that a lot of scholars in the past they didn't marry, and they were wondering, is that a sign of is that an extreme stance to take? and they were wanting some clarification on that. I think it came up early in Ramadan 360, but we talked about the book, Al-Ulama Al-Uzzab, right? There's a book that is dedicated
Yes.
to the 20 or so scholars in history that didn't marry, but maybe you could touch on it for a minute or so, inshallah.
I could talk about this for hours, inshallah. A lot of the guys ask about this, and a lot of sisters ask as well. But I'll say this: listen, the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by default, generally, if you're able to, is to get married. Generally, if you're able to, is to get married. However, it's not decreed for everyone, and there were many scholars for whom it was not decreed, and that includes Ibn Taymiyyah, who was in jail on numerous occasions for over 12 years of his life. That includes other scholars who died relatively young, and it just didn't happen for them. It just didn't work out. It just didn't take place. Generally speaking, if there's no obstacle in terms of marriage, the sunnah is to get married. If there's no obstacle, whether it's financially, finding the right person, all of that. But it shouldn't be your end all be all, where it defines you. It's your identity. So if it doesn't work out and you're trying, you're making dua, keep trying. But live also for the sake of Allah, do what you need to do for the akhirah. And it's not the thing that will define you. There are some people who do get married, and then they end up also saying, well, I don't feel complete because now I don't have children. May Allah grant them righteous children. Our mother Aisha never had children. Our mother Aisha never had children. Asma did. And so does that mean one is better than the other? No, it's the reality of the unique test that came your way. What are you doing with it? Look at these all as pathways to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People have different pathways. Now, again, for the young brother or sister or older brother, older sister who's asking this question, you try your best to follow the sunnah. You try your best to follow the sunnah. And generally, marriage is a sunnah. There are different rulings for different individuals. If for some people it's an obligation, for some it might be haram. And so it just depends on who the person is. But the default is that this is something good. Try to, inshallah ta'ala, pursue it, make dua for it. If it doesn't work out for you, it's not yani meant to be. Allah ta'ala a'lam knows the wisdoms behind it, but don't let that stop you from also living for the akhirah and doing everything you can do within the potential that you have in this world. That's not the thing that will define who you are. There are many people who have been married for a long time and then they got divorced. There have been people who got married two or three or four times and it did not work out for them. There have been people who never got married. And all of these individuals still did the most they could for the akhirah. They didn't sacrifice. They didn't let that be an obstacle between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again, this is not to make anyone feel good or feel bad, but rather to say these are neutral things you can utilize, inshallah ta'ala, as acts of worship, as blessings if they come your way. And the blessings come in different forms, just like wealth and poverty at times in different forms for some people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put barakah in all of the marriages out there. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant to those who are single righteous spouses as well. Allahumma ameen.
Ameen, ameen. Jazakumullah khairan, Sheikh Suleiman Hadi. Thank you so much for spending time with us today. And inshallah ta'ala, within the Maghrib realm of things, we're going to see you again on Saturday, inshallah, April 6th. We'll see you again on April 8th, 3 a.m. for the live dua on our Instagram page. And then you'll be with us on April 9th for the final Ramadan 360 session, Khitamuhu Misk, inshallah ta'ala. We're very excited to close out strong with you. Thank you so much, as always, for your generosity and for sharing your knowledge with us.
جزاكم الله خير تعالى بارك الله فيكم جزاكم الله خير شيخ عبد الرحمن السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
عليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. All right, and with that, inshallah, we will go ahead and move on to our Quran reflects. Let's get our reflection hats on, inshallah ta'ala. And I do see we had Ustada Taymiyyah is with us. So we'll go ahead and spotlight, mashallah.
السلام
Ustada,
عليكم
assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. How are you doing today?
Alhamdulillah, I'm well. I'm well.
Yeah.
I know that everyone's going to have a chance to speak today, but on behalf of the entire Ramadan 360 community and Maghrib family, certainly your family is in our hearts. We're making dua for your uncles. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy and reunite you all in Jannah. And thank you for being with us as well today. We really appreciate it.
Jazakumullah khairan. I've been receiving a lot of messages as well. Thank you for all of you, you know, your du'as and your kind words. Jazakumullah khairan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive him. And may his passing in the month of Ramadan be a sign of good ending. Subhanallah, he lived a very short life. His children are younger than my older son. But, you know, as I was listening to Sheikh Suleiman on the topic of Zuhud, I was constantly thinking about my uncle. He lived a very simple life where, yes, he was detached from the dunya. He was. Because what I saw in him from a very young age is that he was someone who always went to the masjid. It didn't matter whether he was at work or at home, guests were over, no matter what was happening, he was someone who went to the masjid. In his clothing, he was very simple. In his he was very caring, very loving, but a simple man, a righteous man, a life lived very short but filled with ibadah, mashallah. Last time I met him was in November, and that was when he was going through some treatment, very, in constant pain, but mashallah, he had come for Umrah. And the time I met him before that was actually right after he had returned from Hajj, mashallah. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive him and raise his ranks and give him much, much better than everything that he left behind over here. Allahumma ameen. Let's begin. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihil kareem. So I wanted to actually reflect on some verses from Surah Ali Imran. And I'm just going to share screen. Bismillah. All right. Bismillah. You see it? All right. So in Surah Ali Imran, actually, this is from the end of Surah Ali Imran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and through him the believers. And remember that the last 10 verses of Surah Ali Imran, these are verses that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would recite in the night when he would wake up in order to pray tahajjud. And in these verses, we learn about who the people of deep understanding are, ulul albab. And they're the ones who remember Allah while sitting, while standing, while laying down. And they know that all of this has not been created in vain. And so they worship Allah, they call upon Allah. Some of their du'as are mentioned within these verses. And in verse 195, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاسْتَجَابَ لَهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ أَنِّي لَا أُضِيعُ عَمَلَ عَامِلٍ مِّنْكُمْ مِّنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى. That Allah will never allow to be lost the work of any worker among you, whether male or female. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions specifically those who do hijrah, those who emigrate, those who are driven out of their homes, those who are harmed in the way of Allah, those who fight in the way of Allah and are killed in the way of Allah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove their sins from them and will admit them into paradise. And this is all a reward from Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the best reward. Now, when you study the life of any prophet, right, you see, especially in the seerah, how the Muslims, they especially in the Meccan era, the Muslims were constantly struggling. And their enemy was, they had wealth, they had freedom, they had so much dunya. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the following verses about the reality of this dunya. And this is something that is very important for us to understand in order to be detached from this dunya. The reason why our hearts are so attached to this dunya is because we give it so much importance. But when we see what the reality of dunya is, especially in comparison to the hereafter, only then are we able to detach from this dunya. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَا يَغُرَّنَّكَ تَقَلُّبُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فِي الْبِلَادِ. That do not be deceived by the uninhibited movement of the disbelievers throughout the land. That you see people who don't believe in Allah and people who live lives of disobedience to Allah, they are able to travel from city to city, so freely. Why? Because they have no fear in the world. They have safety, they have power, they have authority, right? They have the wealth with which they can easily travel. They have the freedom, from responsibilities. They have health. They have time. They're easily traveling place to place All right. Or the taqallub of the disbelievers. This is referring to how they go to one place and wage war, and then they go to another place and they wage war, and then they go to another place and they wage war. So their constant movement in the land should not deceive you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that we should not get deceived by all this dunya that they have and all this freedom that they have. And this is important because sometimes, because of what we see, we do get deceived, right? And shaitan uses the wealth of the wealthy to put waswasa in our heart that, look, these people have so much, right? They are so successful. They can do whatever they want. And look at you, or look at the Muslim ummah, right? Look at how the Muslim ummah is struggling. We don't even have this, right? We can't even protect ourselves, subhanAllah. So shaitan puts this waswasa into our hearts in order to deceive us so that we begin to doubt the promise of Allah. We begin to doubt in the truth of Islam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is warning us over here that beware, because wealth and freedom is not a sign of God's love for a person. And poverty is not a sign of God's wrath. Those who think that wealth and freedom and power are a sign of God's love, they're truly ignorant. And this is why they assume that if someone has wealth, that means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves them, and that means that they are very successful. No, this is not a sign of success. Why? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, mata'un qalil. It is but a small, small enjoyment. Because no matter how much they have, what's going to happen eventually? It's going to run out. Everything of this dunya, no matter how much it is qalil. It is little. It is little in its duration. It's not going to last long. It's little in its nature because its enjoyment is fleeting, right? You get the most expensive phone. What happens within a year? It's an older version because a newer version has come out, right? And you see this in so many things of the world that when a person first gets their hands on it, like for example, you buy a brand new car, and you pay so much money, but the moment you drive it away from the dealership, all of a sudden its value drops, right? So this is the nature of material things, that their value, all right, is such that it is fleeting. So it is qalil. The dunya is an enjoyment that is little in every way because it is eventually going to come to an end. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Ash-Shu'ara, verse 205, that afara'aita in matta'nahum sinin, that have you considered if we gave them enjoyment for many years, thumma ja'ahum ma kanu yu'adun, and then there came to them that which they were promised, meaning death, then ma aghna anhum ma kanu yumatta'un, they would not be availed by the enjoyment with which they were provided. Meaning, if a person gets, to enjoy a lot in this world, like imagine a person gets to wear whatever they want to wear, eat whatever they want to eat, live wherever they want to live, right? They have it all perfect in this life. And then eventually the angel of death appears before them. Will all of that wealth and enjoyment be of any use at that time? No. Will it remove the painful experience of death? No. Will it remove or protect them from what is to come after death? No. So dunya is mata'un qalil. It is a small enjoyment. And shaitan makes us think that, oh my God, this is so important. This is so urgent. This is so necessary. I have to have this, and I have to have this now. But the reality of the dunya is that it is qalil. Mata'un qalil. And we learn in a hadith that if the world, if this whole dunya had even as much worth before Allah as that of a mosquito's wing, what would happen? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not allow a disbeliever to even have a sip of water. So when you see those who don't believe enjoying so much of this dunya, what does that show? That shows that this dunya has no worth before Allah. It is so little. It is so insignificant before Allah. Mata'un qalil. Thumma ma'wahum jahannam wa bi'sa al-mihad. And then their final refuge is hell. And wretched is that resting place. Because what's going to happen when a person, in hadith we learned that when a person will be brought out of jahannam, all right, and this person is who? When a person will be brought on the day of judgment and this person is destined to Jahannam, all right, this person was who? An'ami ahlid dunya. And he, the most blessed of the people of the world. And he's someone who enjoyed the most. And then this person will be dipped into hellfire. And he literally dipped into Jahannam and brought out. And he will be asked that, have you ever enjoyed anything? Have you ever experienced anything good? And that person will say, never, my Lord. I have never experienced anything good. Any one moment in Jahannam will make that person forget about all of the things that they enjoyed in the world. So this is the reality of the world, that it's enjoyment, the experiences also, any long bucket lists, imagine, you know, people, you know, they get to fulfill so many of their goals, they get to enjoy so much, but all of that will be forgotten with 1 second, one moment in Jahannam. So this is mata'un qaleel. Do not give dunya greater merit than it actually has. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, لكن الذين اتقوا ربهم. But those who fear their Lord, those who have taqwa of their Lord. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لكن. But why? Because those who have taqwa of their Lord, their matter is different. Even if they enjoy in the dunya, what will they have in the hereafter? لهم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار. They will have gardens beneath which rivers flow. And this means that not every person who enjoys the world will end up in hell. No. It is possible for a person to enjoy in this world and enjoy even more in the hereafter. But with what? How is that possible? It is possible with taqwa. It is possible with living with taqwa, consciousness of Allah. And this is why enjoying what is permissible, right? Enjoying what is lawfully obtained, enjoying with gratitude, this is something that is completely permissible. In fact, it is a way of drawing close to Allah, right? The adornment, the good things in this life, they're not forbidden for those who believe. It is only certain things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden for them. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that ni'ma al-malu salihi lil-mar'i salih. That good wealth is excellent for the righteous person. Why? Because a righteous person, when they have money, what are they going to do with it? They're going to use it well. They're going to use it in the worship of Allah, in obedience to Allah. Right? So they will have جَنَّاتٌ تَجْرِي مِن تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا, in which they will abide forever. And this is something so beautiful. Every time that you hear in the Quran, خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا, in paradise, this should bring you so much consolation. Because in Jannah is endless, endless life. There's no death. There's endless youth. There's no aging. There's endless health, no illness. There's endless togetherness, no separation at all. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا. And in this world, khulud is impossible. Eternity is impossible in the world. And even if it were possible, it would be unbearable. Why? Because in this world, you know, the longer you live, the more you age and the more health complications you have. And sometimes you see that when a person has lived a long life and especially towards the end, they get very sick. Death is, it appears to be what? A relief for them. So khalidina fiha, this is in paradise, and that is what we should be seeking. And all of the rewards in paradise, Allah says, nuzulam min indillah. Allahu Akbar. Nuzul is what is prepared and served to a guest when they first arrive. Think about it. When you have guests arriving at your place, what do? For the first day, you serve them really good food, right? And then what happens? Let's say if they're staying for a week, you serve them really good food, the first day, right? The next day, again, you serve them nice food. The third day, yes, you serve them nice food. But then the fourth day, they're eating leftovers with you, right? So in paradise, nuzulam min indillah, in Jannah is nuzul every single day. Every single day for eternity. And all of this is min indillah, from Allah. And this is so beautiful because when you are a guest somewhere, that means that you're being hosted by someone. And depending on who is hosting you, your enjoyment increases, your honor also increases. If you were a guest of someone who is known to be a criminal, you would never accept that invitation. But if you were invited to be the guest of, someone who is famous for doing good things, someone who is, very kind, very, very generous, that is a source of honor for you. That increases your enjoyment. In Jannah is nuzul from who? From Allah. Allahu Akbar. Nuzulam min indillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Qamar that innal muttaqina fi jannatin wa nahar. Indeed, the righteous will be among gardens and rivers. Fi maq'adi sidqin 'inda malikin muqtadir. In a seat of honor near a sovereign who is perfect in ability. Meaning the people in paradise will be near Allah. Near Allah. Wama 'inda Allahi khayrun lil abrar. And what is with Allah is better for those who are righteous. Meaning, what the righteous will get in paradise is way better than what the kuffar have in the world. So do not get deceived by mata'un qalil. But what is in paradise is for who? For the abrar, for those who are righteous. And who are abrar? Those who do birr, those who do good things to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the real struggle now. That do you get distracted by the world and so attached to it that you forget to do birr, you forget to do acts of righteousness? For example, if you have money sitting with you, I don't know about you, but every time I feel like, okay, I want to get this, I want to get that, I'm like, no, I can't. I really can't. I can't justify it. Because I feel like every spare cent that we have needs to go to our brothers and sisters who are starving. It doesn't make sense to me that, alhamdulillah, this Ramadan, literally only one day we ate out. One day. And I told my husband that that's it. We're not eating out again. Because it kills me. It kills me that how can we spend so much money on food when our brothers and sisters are starving. I'd rather eat something less. I'd rather eat leftovers from 2 days instead of spending so much money. And I get it. Sometimes it's necessary. You also want to support, local Muslim businesses, and that's good, alhamdulillah. But every single one of us needs to think about, what is it that I am doing for my dunya and what is it that I'm doing for my akhirah? Because what is in the dunya is qalil. It's going to run out. And what I'm doing for the akhirah is going to last. وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ لِلْأَبْرَارِ. And what is in the hereafter is far better. Let's hear from you. Bismillah. Okay, I'm going to stop the share so that I can see the screen properly. I don't know how to stop the share. Can you help here? Okay, Jazakallah khair. Thank you. All right, Rashida, go ahead.
السلام عليكم.
عليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
I found in regards to what you're saying, I found just out of life circumstances, I've had to move a lot, probably in the years that I've been married, about 20 years, 15 times. No one sane would do that, but it just happened to be that way. And what it, I think it did create a that sense of living life like a traveler, that we never really got attached to houses or things, because that was just what was Allah had ordained for us. During a lecture that you had once, you you had said that the another derivation of rug is kind of like, it's not fashion, because I know there's a word for that, but it is updating you to the version that you have to be. And so I think of living life as someone who, as far, you know, I think if you've seen those commercials, it says, as far as version do you want to experience, you want to have? And I think of life sometimes like that. You're ultimately designed to be who you, Allah is fashioning you to be, inshallah, to be near to Him and someone that He loves. And so whatever experiences, good or bad, that we have, it's for that purpose. And so if you think of life, okay, this is just the experience that I'm having towards that destination, it helps to not be attached to things.
Jazakallah khairan. Aisha, go ahead.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So my reflection for today is about one thing that Sheikh Suleiman said, and that is about the fact that having so much wealth doesn't necessarily mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with you, or having very little of it doesn't mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't love you. So what really hit me most was the fact that we should always ask ourselves that, how does our education, our wealth, whatever we are blessed with by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how does it affect us positively? How does it impact on our brothers and sisters? So that really resonated with me, because acquiring degrees, acquiring wealth and everything can be channeled into goodness that will ultimately lead us to gaining Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure. Jazakumullah khair.
The reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us wealth or the things of this world is to test us, right? As to what we are going to do with these things. Do we become arrogant? Do we become greedy for more? Do we think that we are self-sufficient and we don't need Allah? Or do we stay humble before Him? And we keep asking Him and commit to worshiping Him and seek the hereafter through what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. So the dunya in and of itself is not evil. It is attachment to the dunya which is evil. Because you see how the worst of humanity comes out when people are attached to the dunya. You see this in families. Brothers and sisters, when they're fighting over a house, when they're fighting over a couple hundred thousand dollars, how the worst of them, you know, of their character, of their behavior comes out. So it is the attachment to dunya which is evil. And you see this even in little children, subhanAllah. They're so adorable, but when a child decides that, no, I want this toy, then what do? They go hit, they kick, they snatch, subhanAllah. So this is human nature. Zohra, go ahead.
Hi, I just wanted to mention that I was just searching like a few keywords on Google, like death to believe in Islam. And it just came up with this conclusion that it said that God has made this worldly life a test and a preparation, has made this world a test, and the dunya is the ground for the testing, and when death comes to you, that's the end of the worldly life. And so what I just wanted to elaborate on was that there was this video I watched, and it was just talking about how the dunya in itself, because you see how the sheikh previously was talking about the what should we expect of the dunya and stuff as that, it reminded me of a video where it said that the dunya will betray you, And because it's temporary in nature, it basically the whole idea of that video was that you have to betray the dunya before it betrays you, because the dunya is not going to it's not going to come to you at the end. Like you have to notice the temporariness at the end.
You're only going to get of this dunya what is destined for you, no matter how hard you try. You're only going to get what is destined for you. So yes, don't get betrayed by it. And this is exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, that la yaghurrannaka, don't get deceived.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Right, Solange, go ahead.
I was thinking how is there an echo? Oh, I was thinking how the this whole world is less in value in the sight of Allah than the wing of a mosquito. But for us, it's where we are. It's our environment. So it's normal that we get used to seeing it as much more valuable. But the two rakat before Fajr, the Sunnah prayer, that's more valuable than the whole world. And I think that if we think about that every morning, it will help set our mindset for the day.
Allahu Akbar. Jazakallah khairan for sharing.
I mean, what, yeah.
Yes, because al-malu wal-banuna zinatul hayat al-dunya wal-baqiyatu al-salihat. Wealth and children are just the adornment of this life. And what is the nature of adornment, of beautification? Is it meant to last? No. If a woman spends even like an hour putting on makeup, eventually it has to be washed off. It has to be removed. You put up decorations and then they're removed. The nature of adornment is that it is temporary. So what is it that lasts? It is al-baqiyat, the things that remain are as-salihat, things that are righteous. Any deeds that are righteous, they will last. Subhanallah. Mahin? Okay, next person, Mahin. Okay, Zakia, go ahead.
Assalamu alaikum. Because of what other people said before, I was thinking about something that helps me these days. I learned it somewhere that you have to think, when you start your salah, you have to think as if it is your last salah. And then, subhanAllah, that helps with your, how do you say that? It helps to focus on your salah. So I thought that was something I wanted to share.
Jazakallah khairan. Somebody has shared a beautiful dua in the chat. Allahumma la taj'al ad-dunya akbar hammina wa la mablagh ilmina. That, oh Allah, let not worldly affairs be our primary concern. That do not allow dunya to be my ultimate concern, my hum, any something that I'm always thinking about, worrying about, nor the ultimate limit of our knowledge, that all we know is the dunya and we know nothing about the hereafter. Ya'lamuna dhahiran min ad-dunya, ya'lamuna. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ar-Rum that they know only the zahir of hayat ad-dunya, of worldly life, and they're heedless of the hereafter. And Hassan al-Basri mentioned that, you know, among people is someone who, you know, just has to look at a coin and feel it, right? And they're able to tell what exactly it is and what its worth is, right? And without even, weighing it or anything, they can just, like a gold coin, you know, you would have to put it on a weighing scale to see how much it weighs. But some people are such experts in their worldly matters that they're just able to pick something up and look at it and tell you its worth, its value, its weight. But when it comes to the hereafter, they have no knowledge. they don't think about it, they don't prepare for it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not make us among those who are only concerned about the dunya and who know nothing about the hereafter. All right, we'll take the last comment from Ridwan. Go ahead.
Assalamu alaikum. I just have a comment. Don't you think we should emphasize when we educate our children, you know, on this temporary, you know, aspect of life? Because I do think that the fact that sometimes as a Muslim adult, we may be dysfunctional because we know we grow up within a family that, you know, push us maybe like to be the best student, the best. And I know Ihsan is important in Islam, but sometimes, you know, we get trapped into this capitalism society. And I think that it's super important from the roots, you know, from the childhood, that we emphasize that, you know what, being successful as a Muslim is being loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even if you're not engineer, doctor, or anything, it's go study and have good mark. But it's not the way. You should not link your self-esteem or anything else towards worldly thing. So, and then my second question would be, now us as some kind of dysfunctional adults, you know, with who didn't receive this emphasis on, you know, what I just shared, how can we kind of repair ourselves in a sustainable way? Barakallahu fiki.
I think the Quran is the best murabbi. It teaches you, it trains you. So the more you reflect on the Quran, the more you realize what the reality of this life is. And in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala constantly reminds us of what He has prepared in the hereafter, and how the hereafter is better than the world, what the nature of the world is. You know, the word zuhud is not mentioned in the Quran as, you know, for detachment from the world. It's only mentioned once, right? But the concept of zuhud, the concept of zuhud is mentioned throughout the Quran. And you're right in the beginning, you have in Surah Al-Baqarah that the successful are who? Those who believe, who have yaqeen, who have conviction in the hereafter, right? So who follow the Quran, right? Who take the guidance that the Quran offers. So the more you read the Quran, the more you reflect on it, the more it corrects your thinking, your mindset, and helps you, you know, stay focused on the hereafter and detach yourself from the dunya. And the nature of the nafs is that, or the nature of the world is that, the moment you any disconnect from the Quran, it's very, very easy to get you know, sucked into the world, literally. So you have to stay connected with the Book of Allah, with you know, something that constantly reminds you of the nature of the world and the reality of the hereafter. Inshallah, we'll conclude over here for today. Inshallah. Subhanakallahum bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakumullahu khairan for leading us in reflection and for helping drive home these critical points about this concept that I think all of us know we can do better at. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to be from the Zahideen in this dunya, ya Rabbil Alameen. And with that, inshallah ta'ala, we're about ready to conclude. We want to thank everyone for being with us over this past hour and change. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you and bless your families. We did want to also make, of course, a final reminder. And I know those of you who are with us on the call, you understand it. Those of you who are watching on YouTube, you also understand it. I know many of you are recognize your faces from other Al-Maghrib programs. I've seen you in Quran Revolution. I've seen you in various classes, the Murabbi and Tarbiyah programs. We've seen you all around. And for some of you, this may be your first experience. But one thing we want to convey is that Al-Maghrib, our goal here is to do everything with Ihsan. We understand, and we talked about Zuhud today, right? About restricting our attachment to dunya and whatnot. But one of those things where we don't want to restrict ourselves is in calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We want to ensure that the call to Allah is professional, It's strong. It is knowledge-based. It has resources. There are so many other calls, so many other da'wahs, so to speak, out there, right? So many things that are calling us away from Allah. And so we know in this modern world, we need to make sure that when we present Islam to Muslims, to young people, to non-Muslims, to our communities, we need to do so professionally. We need to do so with amazing video quality. We need to do so with professionally developed classes. We need to do so using blending modern techniques with the ancient traditions and those things within the Quran and the Sunnah that we can blend and ensure that we are allowing Islam to be relatable to both current and future generations, inshallah ta'ala. So I just want to invite you all one more time to please assist us with that through Al Maghrib's final campaign. I'll go ahead and share one more time here so we can take a look at where we're at. And what I'd like to call out here, one of the beautiful things, I don't know if you've all experienced this. I know when I went and studied in Mecca, one of the beautiful experiences I had in Masjid al-Haram was that I went to the Masjid at Maghrib time. I wasn't sure what to expect. And there were multiple people who were beckoning me, come to their area. And they had these beautiful spreads, and there were dates, and there was coffee, and there were things to break the fast with. And they were competing to see who could bring more people to their area. And I just remember thinking in that moment, like, what a unique experience. How many places in the world can you just be a stranger and someone will call you to come sit with them? And then, of course, being on that rooftop, hearing the adhan echo through the mountains, beautiful, beautiful experience. The reason I call it out here is you look at the story of Ubaydullah ibn Abbas. May Allah be pleased with him and his father. Of course, we know his more well-known brother, Abdullah ibn Abbas, and of course his father, the companions and relatives of the Prophet ﷺ. So he was actually the one who started their tradition of feeding, fasting people outside of his home. And so anytime that you see that tradition manifested, it actually goes back to the action of Ubaydullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhumah. And I call it out because I just noticed that every other tier of our giving has a supporter, except for Ubaydullah ibn Abbas. No one is given at that level. So I would love to see if someone can connect with that level of generosity to be among our supporters who are giving with that sort of spirit of doing something that's going to outlast them, inshallah ta'ala. And of course, we know many of you have given on many of the other levels as well. But we just want to, again, emphasize the call and the work that the Maghrib is doing. It is in the goal, and you let us know if that's what you're seeing, but we want to do it at the highest level possible. Yes, we can always be better. Yes, we take nasiha. We want to strive for the best, but excellence is our goal. We're not trying to be mediocre. We're not trying to compromise in giving da'wah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So with that, we encourage you in these final days of Ramadan, as we support all the worthy causes, all the worthy charities, have it in your heart, inshallah, to also support this beautiful call that you've been a part of, this beautiful da'wah that you've been a part of. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless you and to bless your families and to bless every minute that you spent with us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it in your scale of good deeds in the hereafter. And may Allah accept our gathering, our virtual gathering. And even if we never gather like this again, Ya Rab, gather us under your shade on the day that there's no shade except for yours. Allahumma ameen. With that, we'll conclude this session, but we still have a few more days left. It's not over yet, inshallah ta'ala. We will see you tomorrow for the next installment of Ramadan 360. Jazakumullahu khair, and thank you so much for being with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.